this is Herman from Austria. I'm managing director of Besurance, company specialized in embedded insurance solutions. Very interesting issues always on InsurTech Business Series podcast. I can highly recommend to tune in.
Welcome to the InsurTech Business Series podcast. I am Funimi.
And I am Gamola. And together, we host the most exciting podcast on insurance and InsurTech related topics in Africa. Stay tuned.
It is good to have you on the game, but of course, this time you need different capacity.
That's true. The last time he was here, he was with the IRA. Now he's doing the Lord's work with FSD Africa. How are you doing, Elias?
Yeah, much better. I would say it's quite a good experience again, and really trying to look at, I would say, the entire continent now. Previously, it was a little bit more focused on one country and trying to create an enabling environment within that one country. But now it's more of an expanded role by trying to make finance work for Africa through creating, I would say, an environment that is responsive, but also that will look into channeling some of these ideas to improve, I would say, resilience across the continent, at the same time ensuring that Africa becomes prosperous. So, yeah, it's quite a good experience, given that now we have a more expanded scope on how we could create some change, meaningful change across the continent.
Very, very, very interesting. And I wanted to ask, right, now with FSD Africa, right, what are some of the opportunities that you're seeing which FSD is trying to take advantage of? And what are some of the areas that FSD Africa is also looking to open up markets?
Our work is to make finance work for African future. So we really look into strengthening African financial markets. And within that, there are various aspects that we want to support. So in this case, we'll talk about building and strengthening financial markets across sub-Saharan Africa. And with that, then we look at how then we can address structural underlying causes of poverty by improving how the financial market system function. And we do that by looking at addressing systemic challenges within the financial markets that would spark, I would say, large scale, but also long-term change in Africa. So our interventions are basically designed, I would say, from a ground up to ensure that African financial market better serve those that are in need today, and also and also just ensuring that we build that resilience across the continent. So we have a number of initiatives, and our initiatives do span from just looking at the digital economy side. How then do we support innovations and ensure that those particular innovations really go to the last mile in terms of ensuring inclusion of these communities and businesses that are inherently underserved or neglected within the traditional financial systems, up to that level whereby we talk about building resilience and looking at various market systems that will, in one way or the other, provide mechanisms of managing the risks that various communities face. So in that, what comes in mind is, can we ensure that people will be well protected people will be able to go on with their daily lives without much exposure to risk. But at the same time, if they're exposed to risk, are we giving them some mechanisms that will enable them manage the risk that they will be experiencing? So we look at ways in which we manage resilience and create resilience instruments across the continent. We are also highly focusing on climate change and nature-based solutions. So we know that climate change is a real issue right now, not only in Africa, but across the world. And we will be focusing a lot on how then we will make Africa be ready to experience or basically tackle the effects of climate change, but also making Africa to have a voice around climate change. You know, Africa is highly exposed, though it contributes the least when it comes to emissions, carbon emissions. So there's need to invest and to create structures that will ensure that Africa remains resilient to the effects of climate change. But also, you know, we are highly dependent on nature. So we are looking at how then we will be able to ensure that the nature is well protected, the biodiversity and the various ecosystems that we highly regard, we hold with high regard in African continent are well protected. So there are a couple of programs that we are looking at, and these are some of the I would say examples that we are currently progressing well. Just to mention, you know, Bima Lab is one of the things that within the innovation and what we are doing across the continent in supporting innovators towards addressing some of these particular challenges that we are facing in the continent are some of the special effects, or maybe I would say the programs that we will continually support in terms of enabling us to create an African continent that will be meaningful to the current generation, but also to the future generations to come.
Awesome. Okay, so I know that you talked a lot about sustainability, and of course, we are also very aware of the Bima Lab Accelerator Program. But let's even talk about Bima Lab first. How has the experience been? We know that you've done in Kenya twice, currently doing one in Ghana as well as one in Nigeria. Has that been able to drive home your mandate, you know, to, you know, deepen the financial sector in, you know, the sub-Saharan Africa?
We started this particular program in Kenya. So Kenya was one of the testing grounds for Bima Lab. And I would say that we managed to get the right environment for testing. In this case, we managed to know that it's a program that would basically support the change, the meaningful change across the continent. And we've gone ahead into pushing that in Ghana and Nigeria. And the focus is one, whereby Africa is still facing several challenges in delivering relevant products to customers at the base of the pyramid. At the same time, Africa, in terms of the GDP drive, by insurance is still less than what we'll term as the world average of around 7%. So this basically gives us an opportunity to test new digital technologies that have the potential to enhance inclusion, financial inclusion, which will provide access to the underserved and also to the unserved market. So we really focused on creating an impactful and also successful programs in Kenya, and that made us test this particular idea also in West of Africa, that is Ghana and Nigeria. And what we've managed to see is that we've managed to gain the rightful visibility and push for resources to scale innovations. In that, there are a couple of companies that have gone through this particular program that are so far managed to sign strategic partnerships and agreements and have taken their product to the market. At the same time, we've managed to create a very healthy ecosystem whereby, as FSD Africa, we managed to sign a couple of MOUs with insurance companies, technology companies, regulators. In this, then we've managed to create a team or different partners that will focus into creating an access to insurance products and services. So the ecosystem is what we wanted to create, and that has been enabled through this program. We've also managed to ensure that companies that have participated have gone and taken their products to the market. We've managed to get people that were previously not able to purchase insurance products, purchasing some of these products. And in one or the other, we've enabled the regulator to adopt practices and strategies that promote insurtech and insurtechs and innovators within their market. So that's the entire ecosystem whereby the regulator sees that there is need to adopt practices, and that has been adopted in Kenya. We are currently doing a lot in Ghana and Nigeria. We've kind of managed to lead and expedite innovation by bringing in different actors. We've seen the innovators and the insurtech signing new partnerships and taking their products to the market. So at the end of the day, we have managed to really achieve the intended purpose of Bima Lab. The key thing is now even taking it further than Kenya, Ghana, and Nigeria, and that's the focus. We will be doing this for the next 3 years. We're already looking at expanding the scope, and that's the purpose. Let's do it for Africa, and let's see whether we could create a meaningful change, given that now we've seen the change happening in Kenya. Soon we'll be talking about the results in Ghana and also some results in Nigeria.
That's very interesting, and I must give kudos to you and the team, because again, key thing, going back to what you said, the ecosystem, I think that has not existed when you even compare the other sectors within the fintech space, payment tech, lending tech, and banking tech. You see a lot of movement in that space, but on the insurtech space, not so many movements on that end. And it's just super interesting to see, some of this innovation going on, and FSD Africa championing some of these things. I wanted to ask, right, because again, one of the challenges or one of the issues faced by insurtechs themselves and sometimes maybe even insurers themselves in this market in terms of how to scale and innovate is, regulation and the regulator, right? Looking at what FSC is doing, there's a way that you are engaging the regulator directly in order to create an environment where there is innovation. Can you tell us a bit more about why that approach and what's the feedback been like from the regulator's point of view?
It's very interesting that one of the things that I always cited by the innovators is that is lack of regulatory clarity, and also there's always that gap between innovators and yeah, the regulator, yeah. Whereby what basically happens is that the regulator always view innovations as one way of exposing customers to risks, especially where there are regulatory gaps, and that's true. New innovations can really be a big challenge to customers, and the regulators are supposed to be keen. Most of the time, also, the regulators are not really ready to, in a way, provide the meaningful clarity to these innovators, and our intention was purposeful, whereby we wanted the regulators to be part and parcel of this. And what did this provide? It kind of provided the regulators with an opportunity to understand these innovations, to discuss these innovations with the innovators, and even just to open a door for the innovators to kind of come in and discuss their innovations. So what we wanted to achieve was that, were we able to basically close that gap that exists between the regulator and the innovators? Are we able to ensure that the innovators have access to the regulator? At the same time, the regulator had an opportunity to clarify some of the regulations that are in place. And with that, then it enabled them to quickly adapt and even look at ways in which they needed to improve some of the regulations that would kind of operate like a barrier to the innovations. So the regulators were quite open to this because it kind of gave them an opportunity to even look at these regulations, these particular innovations ahead of time, even before they go to the market. And in case there are some areas that they needed to tweak, they could advise that these needed to be tweaked like this. And when there are regulatory gaps that did exist, the regulator could come up with mechanisms of solving those particular gaps. So this, at the end of the day, created an enabling environment for both the innovators, but also for the startups that were looking into creating that meaningful change. So what do we achieve at the end? The focus is one whereby now the innovators were being provided with an enabling environment for developing the ideas. And that would also include the support whereby they could get training, mentorship and coaching, not only from different partners that we are bringing into the table, but also getting that opportunity on a one-on-one with the regulator. So that kind of gave the innovators what we call a validation of their innovations. And even when this particular product would go to the market, the customers would have some confidence that the regulator has had an opportunity to look at some of these innovations. So that was the intention, that as we create this ecosystem for growth and strategic partnerships, then the regulator basically sits in part and parcel just to ensure that, yeah, there are components that are well aligned to the existing regulations. And in case some of the existing regulations were not commensurate to those particular innovations, then they could look at ways of adopting the new regulations that would support the growth of those particular innovations.
Oh, great. Because I think that one of the important part of this is to, have regulators actively involved. And I'm happy that that's the approach that, FSD Africa has taken to ensure that, innovation is well-driven on the African continent. But then since the beginning of, Bima Lab, especially in Kenya, has there been any policy change, from the regulator? So has there been any, increased engagement with InsurTechs on that, front?
Hi, my name is Joel Masharia. I'm the co-founder of Motisure, where we provide last mile distribution of microinsurance products. Keep listening to the InsurTech business series to get the latest on insurance and InsurTech within and outside of Africa.
We've seen a lot of interactions already on various platforms. So for instance, if you look at where we started, particularly in Kenya, there was always the need to implement the regulatory sandbox. And that is something that we've seen a lot of activity happening around it, whereby the regulator is keen to fully take the sandbox into full implementation. We've seen the actualization or basically the enactment of microinsurance regulations in Kenya due to what was happening in the lab. So that basically gave an opportunity to talented innovators to get their solutions through that particular license, whereby they could operate as as micro insurance companies. And those are some of the things that we've seen happening in Kenya. But maybe if I could comment, so for instance, in Ghana, we are actively working on the regulatory sandbox guideline that should be enacted soon. Also, we've managed to work closely with the Nigerian regulator, NICOM, to work on the regulatory sandbox.
Oh,
so
okay.
All of these components are things that we will be able to achieve as time goes by.
Okay, that's quite interesting. And on that note, Nigeria, right? I know that you were in Nigeria. FSD was in Nigeria some weeks ago. Before we go into the details of all of that, like, how was the experience in Nigeria?
Yeah, so Nigeria is a very interesting market. And one of the key things that I would really say is that Nigeria is mature in terms of innovations. I've managed to basically have a discussion with a number of insurtechs in Nigeria. And one thing stands out is that it's a market that has the right innovators in place. We got the right attitude. The regulator has the right attitude in terms of supporting the innovators. We've seen a lot of activity from the incumbent side because we've kind of had a number of interactions with existing companies, insurance companies in Nigeria. So that basically tells you that the Nigeria is at what I would call at the runway, and they are ready to take off. We just need to just ensure that we give it the right attitude and the right pilot to take it where it's supposed to be. The market is always huge. There's a huge potential of creating the change that will kind of basically transform Africa. Because if you look at the population in Nigeria and where the continent is when we talk about insurance penetration, if we could manage to just do a little bit of work in Nigeria, that will, in one or the other, have a very big impact on what we usually talk about as the average African continent numbers. So let's do this. And I believe that Nigeria has all the right components to do this. And with the support that we are currently providing on a number of initiatives, you know, we are running the Bima Lab in Nigeria. We are also supporting, we are also providing a regulatory support to NICOM on a number of initiatives. We are also engaging different players in Nigeria. So the only thing is that now we just need to make this take off, and we are on the runway, and we surely will be able to create the rightful change that is needed in Nigeria.
Awesome. I mean, it's good to hear this being in Nigeria. So I mean, this comes with a lot of excitement. However, I would like to ask, with what you've said, do you think that there might be a Bima Lab 2.0 in Nigeria, just as you had in Kenya? I mean, to further drive down, you know, this innovation and, you know, develop the ecosystem here in Nigeria?
Yeah, so what I would say is that, yeah, we are having a three-year program, Bima Lab. We've kind of managed to secure a three-year funding for Bima Lab. And definitely, we will not just run one version of Bima Lab in Nigeria. As long as we get the right results when we end the first cohort, we'll definitely look at whether there is need to run the second Bima Lab. And definitely, I think that will happen in Nigeria. So our purpose is just to ensure that we don't close opportunities to other persons that have meaningful ideas for change in Nigeria. We will always look at ways in which we could harness those ideas to provide the rightful impact in Nigeria. So definitely, we'll check and see whether there's need. And definitely, if there's an opportunity for us to do that, definitely we'll be able to run the second.
Oh, great. Great then. Before I ask about your expectations, right, from the InsurTech that are currently in this present court, I'll just like us to, you know, take a dive to the sustainability that you mentioned earlier on. Do you think that that is currently reflected in this current court, or this is something that FSD is looking at on the long run?
Okay. When it comes to the sustainability journey, you know, if you kind of look at the UN Sustainable Development Goals, particularly on a shared vision to end poverty and rescue the planet and build a prosperous and peaceful world, then with that particular line of ending poverty, then we need to ensure that we kind of provide channels or solutions that do improve inclusion. So with what we are currently doing, even with the InsurTechs, we want to advance and the speed at which and scale the speed at which we kind of meet and deliver the SDGs that really range from a number of issues and a number of challenges around sustainability that do range from, say, climate change, biodiversity loss, ecosystem degradation, pollution, to things such as poverty and social inequality. So that's something that we need to focus on. So sustainability is a long-term goal for not only for FSD Africa, but for the entire continent and also for the entire world. And essentially, as risk managers, which basically the insurance companies do play a role, and even the investors and the African insurance industry has a key role to play in promoting both economic, social, and environmental sustainability. And in that case, then, with what we are currently doing within the insurance space, then we have to support and commit to the actions that will support the achievement of the sustainability agenda. So that could be, we can take it in various ways in which we create risk management mechanisms, and that's what you see from the innovator side. They're trying to create risk management solutions and products that will support some of these SDGs and also sustainable insurance agenda. We also look at ways in which they can look at investments, and in that case, then the way that we are focusing on solutions that do support issues around climate change. So I think one of the criteria that we used when we were admitting the innovators was looking at issues on climate change and issues of reducing pollution. And one of the solutions that we had as part of the Bima Lab is one company is working on waste management and converting that waste management to the insurance products. That is some of the things that you could see that are highly connected to the sustainability agenda. We are also working closely on policy and regulatory engagement. And just last month, we did launch an R3 lab and did the launch of the Nairobi Declaration in Lagos. And this was just to engage the policymakers, the regulators, the industry associations on key sustainability issues for the African insurance industry. And that's some of the things that we intend to work on and continually improve on. So these are long journey, and we just need to kind of bring all of us together and say, okay, fine, this is the direction we need to take. We need to ensure that we build resilient cities and communities, as well as a sustainable food and agricultural system, amongst other things. And that's a goal. And in that case, then what comes in mind is that we need to close the insurance protection gap by actively developing and promoting inclusive and innovative insurance solutions. And that can only be done through InsurTech and nature-based solutions within our ecosystem.
Hello, this is Pat Callahan, the insurance elephant, calling from near Buffalo, New York, about 5,300 miles from Lagos, I enjoy listening to the InsurTech Business Series without Idomolo Loco because it proves that even though we are thousands of miles different, the insurance business is not that much different. The concepts and topics that are covered on the InsurTech Business Series, they could be handled the same way right here in Western New York State. So listen in. It's a great podcast, great global and local guests, and it just proves it's a small world for insurance.
During your trip, here in Nigeria, I know that the number of things that FSD Africa, launched. One of it was the R3 Lab. Can you tell us a bit about what that is and how the industry benefits from initiatives like this?
Very good question. And when we talk about R3, R3 basically stands for three components. So think about risk, think about resilience, think about regulations. And what comes in mind with these three compelling issues that we currently face in Africa, there are complexities that come with them. So those complexities within the current environment do pose a number of challenges for both financial service companies, in this case, the insurance companies. The regulators also do face a number of challenges. And if you look at on the risk side, the customers also do face some challenges. So the R3 Lab is basically looking into solving or addressing some of these challenges through collaboration and cooperation. So what are the challenges that we want to solve? We want to solve challenges such as lack of technical capacity, lack of resources, the changing regulatory mandates, including just new requirements that intend to address broader policy challenges such as inclusive economic development, sustainability, climate risk, and digitization. So the purpose of R3 is just to encourage and facilitate regulatory interactions between insurance regulators, which will strengthen the methodologies that they are going to apply and enable them to develop necessary solutions that will create an enabling environment. Because creating an enabling environment will be key towards solving some of the challenges that customers do face when they are exposed to various risks. Customers do face when they want to get access to resilient solutions. And this could be insurance products or any other services that will build resilience amongst them as communities and also as businesses. And at the end of the day, we want to ensure that Africa grows as one solid continent, that in one way or the other, the solutions that have been implemented in country X can be replicated in country Y without a lot of, deployment of resources, because we want just to create a very symbiotic but active relationship across the continent. But that's what R3 Lab is all about. Let's work together as a continent to address some of the challenges that we are facing through collaboration and cooperation.
That's quite interesting. I mean, away from the serious stuff now, like how was your experience? Your experience in Lagos, did you get to eat some Nigerian food?
Yeah, so very interesting. Now, when I arrived in Lagos in the evening, and when I ordered some food, I was not specific. I didn't kind of say that it should not have pepper or pepper or spice. So when the food was brought to me, I was a bit hungry. So by the time I realized that it was too much spiced, I'd already taken the stew. And it was not interesting in my stomach because it kind of opened up my stomach for a couple of days. I'm not a fan of spiced food. But I believe, and one of the key things that I would say in terms of the delicacies and in terms of the variations that I managed to kind of see in Nigeria, it's one of the most interesting countries when it comes to food. And you could get variety of a particular meal done on different variations. And that would be great. So one of the key things that I would say, I enjoyed Banku and tilapia. That's my favorite in Nigeria. The only thing is that I'll do mild spice on my tilapia.
Oh, wow. So you can't do pepper soup then. Okay, no problem.
Yeah, but I'm trying. Maybe by the end of the time when we'll be doing the second Bima Lab, I'll be an expert on pepper soup.
Amazing.
Okay, so I just have like two questions, and one would be, what exactly is FSC Africa's expectation for this current cohort? And also, where would be your next stop? Because I know that you mentioned this earlier on, and you said that you, I mean, like to take this, you know, across the continent. So
yeah. So what is our expectation? My expectation is that we need to make insurance more affordable, especially for the low income. Thus, we protect them from the risks that they do face. We want to make insurance more relevant and accessible to people across across Nigeria. We want to have improved risk management for households and companies through comprehensive risk management. We also just want to ensure that we've built an ecosystem that will support and respond to protection gap and financial inclusion challenges. So we just want to ensure that that the ecosystem is there. There's improved risk protection for customers. There's adaptation of regulatory rules and policy across the continent, but also in particular in Nigeria, and also transparency on key issues when it comes to the trends on innovation, particularly in the insurance sector, whereby the stakeholders can always come back and say, okay, fine, we can see that we have improved on performance. At the same time, the customers look at solutions that are highly customer-centric. So that's what we want to see. That's our intended purpose, and that's our goal. And at the end of the day, just making finance work for Africa future. And that's what we are highly focused on. The next stop, you did ask us, where are we landing next, right? So we are certainly cruising. Definitely, we will be landing in one country very soon. We are currently working with close to 8 countries, and just what we are doing is just developing innovation portraits and regulatory action plans for those 8 countries. And definitely, we will be landing on one of those 8 countries that we are working currently with. I can't say which one, but yeah, we are working with 8 exciting countries across the continent. And definitely one of those countries will be our next stop.
Okay, that's great. Super interesting time within the insurance space, especially here in Nigeria, right? Bima Lab initiative. There was a release recently of the earlier this year, the web aggregator guideline, you know, FinTech Association of Nigeria recently mentioned that they are working with NICOM as well on a InsurTech roadmap, right? So quite interesting time, and we're super excited about what all of this will bring for the space, and we're happy to you know, to hear all of things that FSD Africa is doing within the space in Nigeria and even across the continent. Kudos to you and the team. And this is something that, you know, when you had started off, you know, within the IRA, then Kenya, and then now you're taking it global. So well done to you and the team working on this. And we're super excited and looking forward to even collaborating and doing more even with you and FSD Africa, just again to push innovation and grow the space. Thank you very much. It's been super exciting speaking with you. So do you have any last words?
Yeah, my last word is that Africa needs to work together. We have a lot to solve. And the only thing that we can do is just to put our efforts to try and change what we are currently experiencing. And that could be done by a lot of collaborations and cooperation. So as FSD Africa, we are still working and we'll still continue to look for those partners that are looking into transforming the continent and ensuring that we make the continent work. So that's my last word. Let's work together to solve these African challenges, and we can do it if we can just do it much as a team going forward.
All right. Yeah. Yes. Perfect. Yes. Collaboration. That's it. We had a guest some time ago, and she said she prioritizes cooperation. You know, as against competition. You know, collaboration. In order to grow the space. So yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Alas. It's been a pleasure speaking with you again. Yeah, and kudos to you and the team.
Thank you very much, and we look forward for future interactions.
Hi, and I hope you did enjoy that conversation. Quite interesting one. Do ensure that you continue to listen to our podcast and share as well with your colleagues and friends future episodes and even previous ones on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, on every platform that you get your podcasts.
Right. And also don't forget to join the conversation on all of our social media platforms. We might have comments, reviews, as well as questions. Please do share on our LinkedIn page, on our Twitter page, as well as remember to follow us.